You are tuning into the True North Church podcast. Our prayer is that you would be inspired and encouraged by today's message. For more information about True North Church, please visit us online at truenorthak.org.
Isn't it a great day to be alive? Man, my name is Mark, and I'm one of the pastors here, and we live stream our second gathering. Would you give it up for those watching online today that joined us that maybe couldn't be here in person? And I want you to look at your neighbor right now, and I want you to let them know you're having a good day. Just say, I'm having a good day. Now look at your other neighbor and say, it's only going to get better from here. So as good as it's been. And we're in next week. We start a new series on Ephesians, and it'll be you'll want to read a chapter one of Ephesians this week. But we're going to walk through it this summer, so it's going to be a 13-week series on the book. How many guys have ever read the book of Ephesians and enjoy the book? It's an incredible book, and I've been working on kind of outlining the series and kind of lining it out, and I'm thinking like, man, how in the world can you take God's word, unpack it in the time frame we have? And our hope and prayer is it'll be something applicable and yet profound for you as Christ followers. How many of you guys have ever had a moment that changed your life? Moments. I mean, I can think of moments. I can think of my twin brother's moment. Was he was born 3 minutes before me, so his moment to beat his brother in the first race they ever had. And then the moments of, I got married 26 years ago, and I'm on one side of the altar, my wife's on the other, and I said, I do. And ever since then, she's been saying, oh, no, you don't. Can moments change your life? And then my first daughter's born, and then my second daughter, the day we walked into a hospital not knowing what it would be like to adopt someone, would the love be as deep as my own children, biological kids? And when we took Fulton in our hands and the love was as instant and as deep as those that my wife had in her womb for 9 months, I realized God is just a good God. But I want to talk about some moments. It was 2008. I flew up here in the last week of October to preach I was living in Las Vegas. I was to preach a minister's enrichment for the northern region of the Assemblies of God. And it was actually hosted here at True North. It was at that time Fairbanks First Assembly. And I'm sitting on this second row. I'm sitting right where I probably was almost sitting there into worship today. And I heard the voice of God that says, you're supposed to serve that man and lift his arms up. It was our superintendent for the Assemblies of God. And I was like, it was weird because I flew in and it was snowing. And I thought that was weird. And now I realize that's normal for Fairbanks, right? And at the end of the gathering, at the end of that prayer time, that service that day, I went right over here to this part of the altar and I knelt there and I said, Lord, what do you mean I'm supposed to come serve this man? I've never met him. But he was talking about the 100 plus villages in Alaska that had no consistent gospel witness. And I heard God's voice that said, you're supposed to serve him. I go to that altar, God gives me a verse, I open it up, and it says, Jacob packed up his family on camels and moved. I thought there's only two camels at the Vegas Zoo. I've been there. A long ways up on Vegas with two camels. I knew what it meant. It meant was pack my bags and get ready. And 2 months later, I was the youth director for the Assemblies of God living in Anchorage. And then 9 years ago last week, we hosted at this church. I wasn't on staff. We hosted the network conference for the Assemblies of God, and we hosted it last week again, or 2 weeks ago here. We hosted it, and while I was here, this church at that time had no pastor, and they'd had a pastor for 9 months, and he left, and the pastor before that was here for 9 months, and he left, and the pastor before that was here for 9 years, an incredible pastor, but in that process, they were pastorless, and I remember sitting in the balcony during network conference, and my wife and I just kind of felt impressed to put our name in, and so we put our name in to pastor this church, and they had us come preach. In fact, we tried out on, I don't know if this is good or bad, okay, but on 4th of July weekend, they had us try out to pastor the church. We got 100% vote because there's three people here. No. it was 4th of July weekend, but I remember my wife and I walked out here with our kids. My kids are crying like, we got to move from Anchorage to Square Banks. And I said, no, we're moving away from Los Anchorage or Nicaragua to Fairbanks. No. But we moved up here 9 years ago this July. We unpacked our bags on the 22nd of February, or July, excuse me, 87 people that first Sunday. And those moments changed our life. And I want to just kind of weave a couple stories together here. I want to look at a verse in John chapter 8, and it's a verse I've probably highlighted from this platform a dozen times in 9 years, but I want to look at it again. It's one of my life verses. but I think it's a verse that, as your pastor, it's also a verse that shapes the church. And it says in John chapter 8, verse 14, Jesus told them, "These claims are valid, even though I make them about myself." In other words, in that day, your claims weren't valid if there wasn't two or more witnesses. And that's why when Jesus says, "Gather together in two or more," okay, but there's two, he says, "For I know," he said, "my claims are valid because I know where I came from and where I'm going." And real quick, I want to unpack three thoughts from this, and then I want to take the next time we have together and unpack this a bigger picture here for where we are as a church and where we're going. And if you're a guest with us, I hope you would interpret this day as, man, this church has some direction and some vision. Next week, we'll be back in the book of Ephesians. This is kind of we're in a two-year initiative right now to relocate to College Road. And so you got to, as a leader, come back and cast some vision. This is where we're going. This is how we're going to get there. And so three things from this text. Number one, we have a story. How many know you all have a story? When Jesus says, "I know where I came from." Now, where'd he come from? He came from heaven to earth to show. Remember that old song, "Shout to the Lord"? Wrong word, sorry. My wife's like, "That's the wrong song, sorry." But Jesus, he came from heaven wrapped in swaddling clothes, born in a manger, right? And so he knew where he came from. We all need to know we all have a story. Now, here's the thing. Some of us don't like our story. But I'm convinced of this. Someone named Jesus can take your story and change it around. We might not like where we came from. We might not like our story. But here's the deal. If this wall represents my past, where I came from, and this wall represents my future, where I'm going, if I stare at my back, or if I stare at my past, I have my back to my future. Only God can take you and switch it to where your back is on the past, and your back guides you, but it doesn't own you anymore. How many want to know Jesus can take your past and forgive you and redeem you? We're going to talk about that in Ephesians next week. God's got unsearchable riches and glory and grace and mercy for us. We all have a story. I know people don't like their story because there's abuse and there's pain. There's all sorts of things, but I'm so glad God can take our story. See, here's the deal. We can't change yesterday, but we can change tomorrow. We all have a story. Number two, we all have vision. Now you might say, "Well, I don't know how." You know, see, there's three kinds of people in this room right now. There's those who make it happen. There's some of you that get up and you just like, you attack life. You make it happen. Then there's some of you that wake up and you let it happen. And then some wake up and go, "What happened?" You know? And so there's different kinds of people. But True North, we want to be the people who are the people that go, "Man, there's a future worth fighting for. We have a vision. This is where I'm going." Jesus said, "I know where I came from, but I know where I'm going." And on the cross one day, when he said it was finished, what did he say? "What I came to do was done. I came and I began something." And how many want to know we have a bright future with Jesus? And I hope you're holding on to a preferred future. You know where you came. I hope you know a glimpse of where you're going. And then number three, we all have a destiny. Say destiny. In leadership circles, they would say that your past experiences, when you get enough past experiences and you grow in some areas and you're between your thoughts and your actions and your leadership, there's something called congruence. And that's when your story and your vision come together and you're like, "I'm living in the moment of my most effective." And all of us, hopefully, we all want to get to that place where our story and our vision come together and we're living our destiny. Joseph had that. Joseph had a story. He had dreams as a young man, put in Potiphar's house and falsely accused, thrown in jail. He's in prison serving the jailer's dream. And then one day, he's simply doing what he was supposed to do that day. He wakes up. He's now serving Pharaoh's dream. And one day he realized destiny happened when his story and his vision and dream came together. He's living destiny. And today I want to take a few moments today, and I want to talk about what I think would be True North's story, our vision, and our destiny. And I hope that it speaks to your heart. See, we're in we you know we we were 87 people a few years ago, and last week between our elementary and our junior high class and our youth ministry, we had 519 people here under the age of 18. And so when I say that, we want to talk about what does the future look like as a church stewarding what God's doing here right now in this moment. And so we're in this current initiative called Churchpacity, and we have our core values on one side of the wall. We have where our current vision is, Churchpacity, on the other wall. And Churchpacity, I'm a word guy. I love words, but Churchpacity is three words. It's church. It's the word capacity. But at the end of it, there's a word city, because we believe that the church is you. And if all of us in here reach our capacity, at the end of it, there's a city God wants to reach. So if we maximize our churches, yours and our corporate capacity, we're going to touch a city. And it's not his will that any would perish, but all would come to repentance. So Churchpacity has three elements to it. Number one, we're a people of faith. And we're a people of faith. I almost every Sunday, I didn't do it today, but almost every Sunday I stand up here and I say something like this: our best days are ahead. That's not a state, that's a statement of faith. Because how many of you guys, some days you go to work and you're like, what just happened? There's days you feel like you're on top of life, and there's other days life is on top of you. But friends, here's the deal. If life knocks you down, turn over, because if you can look up and see Jesus, you can get back up. But as a people of faith, thinking our best days are ahead, this is something we say all the time at True North, that we are faith-filled, big-thinking, bet-the-farm risk-takers. We never insult God with small dreams or small thinking or safe living. We're risk-takers. If you're safe, this probably isn't a good church for you. Unless you want to stretch to say, okay, I'll be around some faith risk people. So we're risk taking. We're faith filled. We honestly believe we plus God's a majority. We plus God's a majority. We're faith. And in other words, another way we say it here at True North is we're thermostats, not thermometers. As thermostats, you change the temperature of a room. You don't reflect the temperature. We are faith-filled. Our faith is going to change the temperature of Fairbanks, Alaska. Now, you might say, well, it was still cold this winter. Yes, but I tell you right now, there's a whole bunch of people whose hearts are warming for Jesus. We're faith-filled. Number two, we're living on mission. In other words, what does that mean? We're outward thinking. We're outward focused. We say something here at True North all the time. This is where we will do anything short of sin to reach people far from Jesus. We'll do what no one's doing to reach people no one's reaching. We're missional. And when I say that, I'm convinced. God made us to fight. He made us fight. And you look at God's people in the Bible, when they weren't fighting battles to take over new territory and advance God's kingdom throughout the promised land and into all that God had for them, you know what they started doing? They started fighting each other. So guess what? Why do I say we're missional? Because the moment we forget about leaning outside the walls of this building and fighting battles outside the doors, we fight over the color of the carpet, the fight over the color of the chairs, fight over, you know, we don't fight over that stuff at True North, because there's a bigger battle out there called the devil and the demonic high places that God's called us to go reach for him. It's a bigger battle. So we're missional. We're like the four friends that pick our paralyzed friend up to take him to Jesus. And when you get to the house, you realize there's no room. We're the people that go up on top of the roof and find a way to dig a hole to get the people to Jesus. That's who we are. I've been praying for my neighbor for 3 years, and he came on Easter Sunday, and then he surprised me and came last week. How do I know he came last week? Because one of my elders called and says, was your friend the guy dropping the F-bomb in the foyer last week at church? I said, yep, that's my friend. And that's okay, because here's the deal. We don't make them clean up before God shows up and does a work in their life. How many want to know that? I would rather have a whole church of people that smell like a bowling alley who are in process of finding Jesus than a whole bunch of people been saved all along that we don't have any friends that are unsaved. Right? We're living on mission. We're a people of faith living on mission. But that's called. Now here's the cool thing. Last week we got a call from the military base. And they asked us, would you do divorce care on our base for us? We've been asked to go to the military base now. And what's one of our big, bold prayers we've been praying? Change the divorce rates in Fairbanks, Alaska. And now we've been asked to go on the military base. They asked us to come. Why? Because we're missional. I'd love to take everything off the outside. In fact, we're going to close the building today, and the church is actually going to leave today. You know that, right? You're the church. Now, because we've been a people of faith and we've lived on mission and we've done things that other churches wouldn't maybe think about doing, and we're always inviting, there's an invitational culture here. Because of that, we're at the place where number three is important, and that's called building a place with more space. We've not that we ran out of space, but there's not a lot of open chairs here in our second gathering right now, and we have four on Sunday. But here's the deal. We're talking about building a new building. So with that, I want to talk about our story, though, because our church has always been a church looking for more space. 83 years ago, Charles and Emma Hershey, what a great name. I wish I could say they were from Pennsylvania, but from Arkansas. Lane like Hershey, they should have been from Pennsylvania. But Charles and Emma Hershey drove up the Alcan. I'm not sure what kind of car it was, but August 4th, 1940, on 4th Avenue, and 315 4th Avenue, right next to Golden Towers, and there's a parking lot right now. They started a church service in their house. I don't know what happened. I don't know if too many people came. I'm not sure what the bathing patterns were in 1940 in Alaska. But all I know is they met in Charles and Emma Hershey's house for a little while until they outgrew the house or until Emma got tired of the smell in the house for 4 days after church. I don't know what happened first. But they moved into what is Thriftiques, which is Oddfellow. It was the Oddfellows Hall. Isn't it weird when the Pentecostal church goes to the Oddfellows Hall? So I don't know how long they were in the Oddfellows. I'm not sure how odd they were, but the Oddfellows Hall was actually a bathhouse where people could rent, and there was a room to rent. And they continued having church there 82 years ago. It's that antique store right next to Kitty Corner to Big Daddy's. And then 79 years ago on Christmas Eve, they opened up their first building. They built a log cabin church right behind the pastor's house. And they were in that church for years until at some point, I'm not sure if they built the building on leased ground, but at some point they sold the ground from underneath the building. You know what the church did at that point? They put that church building on trailers and hauled it down to Nanana and across the river before the bridge was in, and they started Nanana Assembly of God, which is now True North Church in Nanana. And they were homeless, and so they rented the Lutheran church in town. And 60 years ago, they were in the Lutheran church after this building, and they rented, and what's funny is there's a couple in our church, Walt and Eunice Nielsen. Walt was in the military, and he grew up Lutheran from Minnesota. He leans to his wife, and his wife says, "Honey, we need to go to church." And he goes, "We're going to go to the church closest to us." And they looked up around, and they realized the closest church to where their apartment was the Lutheran church. And he was all happy because he grew up Lutheran. She grew up Pentecostal. Well, they go to church, and he's all happy, like, "I got my way." They walk in. It's the Assemblies of God Church renting the Lutheran church. And guys, Eunice passed away a year ago. But Eunice taught children's church here for 30 years. And I got a pair of Eunice's shoes right here, because my prayer is, you know, I don't know if you understand something. As a church that's 83 years of age, we have a history. And when a saint passes on, my question to you younger folks, who's going to step into her shoes and lead the next generation for the next 30 years? Who's going to enjoy the next building because you paid for the last building? So who's going to step into Eunice's shoes today? It's great to talk about history, but there's people involved here. And so after the Lutheran church, they bought land right here on Ruby Avenue. It was right behind you. The Airport Way wasn't here. And Ted Baker, who met his wife Elizabeth in a log cabin church, they got married in this building, but for 56 years they were married, and then we buried Ted this last year. So I called up Elizabeth. I said, "Elizabeth, do you have any of Ted's shoes?" She goes, "I think so." So she sent him, and I forgot I'd asked for the shoes, and so I opened up a box last week like, who would send me these shoes? Because my daughters are always buying stuff on Poshmark or eBay or whatever, right? But I realized, no, these are Ted's shoes. These aren't just any shoes. These are someone who was married for 56 years to the woman of his life and served and taught Sunday school in this church for 50 plus years. My question, who's the next Ted Baker who's going to step in and do something like that and think beyond where they're at, but think generations? Who's going to step in the Ted shoes today? And then they built where our kids' church, where you check the kids in. That's where our first auditorium was. And then in 1976, they grew and they built this building. And people drove by and said, why are you building such a massive church? You'll never fill that up. Well, no, we fill it. We've proven them wrong. we have four services here now and two on College Road. In 1990, they finished the admin wing, which is kind of just off that down the hall there where our offices are. And then, 2014, my wife and I came and said yes, and God started to do something, and the church started growing, and all of a sudden we started reflecting our community and college kids and military and Fairbanksons came, and in 2019 we purchased 11 and a half acres on College Road, two buildings, and then in 2020 we purchased three additional acres, so we have 18 acres on College Road, and in 2021 we renovated what used to be the UAF Administrative Services Building, and in August of 2021, we planted College Road venue on College Road, and they had 501 people on Easter Sunday. That's just a little venue over there, okay? A little cute little, that'll be our kids' church when we get our new building built. And in August, and so we planted that church, and then last summer we did the deep dynamic compaction and all the geotech work and to get the ground ready, and we put our foundation in over there for our new worship center on College Road, and show a picture of that real quick. So that's our story, but where are we going? That's our history, but what's our vision? Where are we going? And so I just want to unpack who we are. When I came 2014, I didn't come to build a building. In fact, my mentor always said, Mark, if you're a part of a church that has a split, stay with the people that own the building. It's really hard to build a building. It's a lot of stress, a lot of all those things. But here's where we're going. Here's the vision. Number one, we want to build the church. And when I say the church, I mean you. And that's why all the time, if you look at our core values, we're a Bible church, a spirit of power, a family church, a church for our city, our state. But the last one is we're equipping church. We believe this. We believe that you are the reason True North can be a soul-winning, missional, faith-building church in our city. That means if we truly believe that the gifts God has to reach our city and our region and our state reside inside of the people that attend True North Church. So I would say this. How do we build the church? We'll talk about it. Attend one, serve, get plugged in and serving. Go through Grow Track. Find out where your gifts best serve the church. People say, Mark, what's the secret to True North Church? The people are incredible. That's the secret. And the people get involved and the people serve. And so we came to build the church. That's you. It's me. It's us. Number two, at this point where we're at in our history, it is we have a great history, but where we're going is we want to help the church build God a building. We don't feel like we're called the next decade to have four gatherings, five gatherings, six gatherings, seven gatherings like we have currently, six gatherings on a week and seven on Easter. We don't feel like that's what we're called as long term. We feel like there's greater stewardship of our lives if we have a larger building. And so together we're going to build a new building on College Road. And here, in fact, it's a place with more space. I want to show you a couple pictures. You can see we have 18 acres there, plenty of parking. Right now we have enough parking for you to come and squeeze 12 of your friends into one car and show up, okay? But in the future, you can all drive your own car to church if you want. Okay, and your kids can drive their dune buggies and park 94 with us next. No, we don't. But in the future we'll have 18 acres with plenty of parking, and we want to build a campus there. And so there's our current buildings there, and the new building, the proposed building. That's the front of the new building. And then what we look for is the space in the foyer. We have enough parking. You'll all have to leave to get the next service in, and life groups can happen inside that. It's 39 feet wide by 140 feet. That's a big foyer. Okay, and we can't wait till life happens inside of there. Grab a cup of coffee and disciple and mentor and lead someone and pray with someone. And so we want to help God's church build God a building. And then the third thing this year we're focusing on is this year we're launching our school. We're close with our consultants. We're close to having all of the paperwork done. And the next week and a half, by the 15th, everything will be ready, our parent handbook. When you start a daycare school, you have to tell them what brand of Cheez-Its you're using. I mean, I'm telling you, it's very organized. I mean, so a parent handbook, teacher handbook, school handbook, all of the information, who we are. And so we're there, our budget, all those things. And their goal is this fall, we're in line with that to launch our school. So the moment we get approval, we'll launch our website. We already got our director hired, but we can't wait to put the fingerprints in the wet mind. Now, here's the thing. Our bank has told us in 2 years if our school has the projected income that we are expecting to have, that they'll actually sell this building to our school so we can take the capital from this building to finish our building on College Road. And then we'd still own this building. And having a daycare on this property right here, make this a gymnasium, and so close to the military base and everything else would be incredible. And so we're going to launch our school. And then fourthly, part of our vision is to impact villages. In fact, we just hired Mark. Mark, stand up, Mark. Mark just became our Alaska Missions Director. This is last week. Mark's been on staff with us for 6 months or so. He's been our facilities manager. Came over from the mission field in Colombia, where he set missions teams up, and he understands cross-cultural missions, has a heart for villages, and so he's going to help us continue. Now here's the thing: part of our Alaska missions dream is to find out how can we have sustainable vision and missions with money. And I have a friend who pastors church on the Rock in Wasilla, has a dynamic thrift store called Thrifter's Rock. And with revenue of 70 grand a month after expenses, after 8 years of running their shop, there's sustainable. And so we started talking and we started praying, Lord, give us a building for a thrift store. We've been talking about that for years, been part of True North. We want a thrift store where someday we can hire someone that comes out of transitional living from prison. We can put them we can take single moms and let them work there and use the revenue from the work to buy clothes for their kids, things like that. How can we have sustainable? But the profit from that would fund missions. Started praying, and God dropped the business in my mind, and so I called a buddy and said, would you call the owner up and find out? They have some warehouse space. If they would give us really good rent for a thrift store. And to make a long story short, we're working on something right now where he's willing to sign a 20-year lease and let us use 5,000 square feet for free. Say free.
Free.
Anyone know free is a good price? And a 20-year agreement. Which means we can launch our thrift store and not take the $14,000 a month for rental space and throw it right back into missions. And so our best days, when I say this, here's the deal. So why is this important? Because here's our realities. You know, we did our deep dynamic compaction, put our building foundation in, and then we got the completed plans. It was a design build. Got the completed plans, and because of inflation, the price went up $3 million. And I sat in my office going like, oh my gosh, it was a stretch before. And I sat there and thought, well, I can't control inflation, but I didn't come to build a building. I came to build a church. And there's still thousands of people who don't know Jesus, so let's go. Let's start our school. Let's get our Alaska missions going. And in the process, hey, God's church is going to build him a building over the next several years. Might take a little longer, but here's the current reality. We have 18 acres. Realtors have told us that our undeveloped land is worth $10.8 million. We currently owe $5.3 million, and we have a fully functioning building over there, plus our foundation's in. So we're in a great place when it comes to a profit and loss and what's what worth and all that stuff. And this summer, this week, they're delivering the first load of steel. And so if you're down in Anchorage this week and driving back on the 11th, don't be upset if there's some semis with some big long loads of steel, because that's the church you're building. Okay, and so it's going to be coming up the road this week, and by July, they said by the end of July, the structure's going to be up. The 20th and 21st of August, put this on your calendar, we're going to have a worship night out there. We're going to sit on chairs on the gravel, and we're going to sit there as our church and worship and praise the Lord. We got a guest speaker, Dobie Weasel, will be here. We're going to believe God for great things right there in our unfinished building. But we didn't come to build a building. We came to build a church. You. And so this is where we're at. Because of inflation, we're erecting the steel, and then we're going to ask God, God, over the next several years, let's be financially good stewards. This summer, we're not inheriting any new debt. We have a bridge loan to help us with things until the end of the year. But our goal is to build the entire steel structure, the rafters, the pan decking, and let it sit there as we continue to raise the finances, raise the support, as we continue to build the church. And the church will build the building. Now, how are we going to do that? Three things I want to encourage you with as we think about how are we going to build God's building while we build the church as we continue to impact our villages. Number one, write this down. Would you please pray about being the person that attends one, serves one, and brings one? It's called, really, another way of saying that is you're a contributor, not a consumer. If you attend one and you serve one, you're not making church about you, you're making church about someone else. But if you just attend one and you sit in the pew every week and you're not giving anything back in the sense of helping, investing, and serving, then guess what? We call that you sit in the pew too long, you get pewy. And what makes True North so good is people don't get pewy, they get involved and they start serving. You realize today it takes about 250 people who serve to make things happen. If you have 519 kids, I'll tell you right now, what that means, or children and youth, that means there's a lot of people downstairs in the nurseries. That means there's a lot of kids filling little kids. Excuse me, there's kids and a lot of adults who are filling little Dixie cups with crackers as we're talking to children about Jesus. Would you attend one? Would you serve one? And would you bring one? Bring a friend. If you think it would benefit True North, bring a friend. And if you bring a friend, you might want to think about strategically inviting them to the first service or the last service, or get here early to move someone else's. You make sure there's room. But bring a friend. There's lots of places to serve. Here's the thing: there's lots of places to serve, and we'd like to give you some keys to help drive some ministries around here. But it takes your involvement. And the path to serving at True North is Grow Track. Go through Grow Track, get plugged in. And if you and so find a place to serve. And number two, I want to encourage you, step into some big shoes. Step into some big shoes this year. Since we launched Churchpacity 30 months ago, four of our long-term saints, people who called True North their church, or Fairbanks First Assembly their church for years, slipped into heaven. Ted Baker was the most recent, 56 years married, but attended our church, helped move the building across the frozen river to Nanana, led worship in that first service down there. He slipped into eternity. And when we had our annual vision meeting to buy the land, or special vision meeting to buy the land on College Road, Ted stood up. I don't know if he was wearing these shoes or a different pair, but Ted stood up. And he says, I remember when we bought that land on Ruby Street, the first building. I was here. I helped pay for it. I helped cut the trees down, and we finished paying off the mortgage. And then I was here when we built this building, and I helped clear the ground, and I helped pay for it. And he says, and we paid off the loan. And we did it once. We did it twice. Let's do it again. Those were Ted's words. We need some let's do it again people. Step into some shoes and say, hey. See, here's the thing. How many of us appreciate the building you're in right now? Someone else paid for it. Are we going to pass it on? Are we going to? In fact, I want to do something. If you were here in 2018 or 2014 at True North Church, stand up. If you were here at church in 2014, okay, there's four upstairs, five upstairs, and six upstairs, and these three. So not very many of you. Which means, thanks guys, you can sit down. Which means there's a whole lot of people who paved the way so you could be here today. Will you step into some big shoes to make sure another generation can step into something that someone else already paved the way for? We also had another Eileen Hauger passed away. She was 100 years old and could still sing on tune. Every time I walked down here, we had a special, in fact, until she put in a full-time care, she'd come in with a wheelchair and she'd say, hey, Pat, and she'd always tell me a joke every single Sunday. And it was always, and it was always a clean joke. You know, some of y'all, you know, need to listen to more of her jokes. And so, but she came. Now, here's what you don't know about Eileen, is Eileen and her husband homesteaded in North Pole, and then they moved into town because that's where their daughter went to school. And she raised her daughter here in church, and she taught in kids' church for 50 years. And her daughter, Bev, ended up marrying a guy named Mark Parrott, who was the lead engineer on the new building. You never know the shoes someone wears and who steps in to fill them, who the next generation is. You don't know, but here is someone raised in our church who married someone who became the lead engineer on the new building. That's the providence of God. Ted Baker, Eunice Nielsen pastor. Eunice, again, she was the one that got all happy because her husband took her to the Lutheran church and it was an AG church. But Eunice taught, and those are Eunice's shoes. And then Donna Barnes passed away, slipped into a heaven. And so those are people that weren't here. So I want to ask you, who's going to step in and into some big shoes and say, I'm going to tend one, serve one, bring one. I'm going to be a part of the next wave of what God's doing. And then lastly, I want to ask you this question. I want to ask you, who will step up and say, I want to take the next step in my generosity journey? See, here's the thing. It would be great if your groceries didn't cost any money, wouldn't it? It'd be great if you didn't pay a fuel bill, all those things. There's things that cost money. And we're enjoying what someone else paid for and made happen. And I want to encourage you, and I've asked my church, when I say our church, would we take the next step in our generosity journey? What's that look like? And there's many, there's hundreds that have done that. And this last year, we had $1.5 million come in more above and beyond what our tithe was because people stepped up. And I'm so thankful for that. But I want to ask some others of you that have not participated yet to take the next step in your generosity journey. What does that look like? Maybe you'll take your first step and become a first-time giver. Maybe you've never given. See, if all of us come together, we can reach our church pastor if we all do our part. And for some of you, the next step might be, I'm just going to give for the first time. Others might be, I'm going to become a consistent giver. I've given every once in a while. A missionary comes, tugs my heart, I give. But what would happen if you became a consistent giver and it became a budgeted item where you said, I'm going to give God X amount a month? And number three, an intentional giver. See, we're intentional givers. How many of you guys are thankful that because you intentionally give to your fuel deliverer that you have fuel for your winter? How many of you guys appreciate that? How many of you guys have a cell phone? Raise your hand. You have a cell phone. Okay, there's a whole lot of you that don't have cell phones. Wow, I'm shocked. In 2023. But you intentionally give your cell phone bill or they'd shut it off. You might intentionally give your cable or iTunes account so you can watch your Apple TV or whatever your thing is. But intentional giving says I pay my mortgage, I pay my rent, I pay my fuel, I pay my phone, but I also have written into God and give him my 10%. I'm intentional about it. I structure and God get. And maybe you've never done that. Take the first step. Maybe you've given consistently, you give, but now you want to say, I'm gonna make it a monthly thing or every other week, or I don't know your pay schedule. Consistent, intentional giver. Or number four, sacrificial giver. Sacrificial giver, someone who gives as a sacrifice. When my wife and I got married, the first thing we did was we bought a home, and we're in it for 5 or 6 years. We moved to another state, sold it, and made good money and rolled it into another house. And then where we moved into California, it skyrocketed. We made more profit. And we've rolled that profit into homes throughout our marriage. But when we did the generosity initiative, we had a house in Anchorage, a house in Vegas, and the Lord spoke to us to a number we should, and it was a sacrifice. Because in our mind, I've not always made good money, but I've made really good decisions. And so the Lord says, you need to give X. He told us to give $100,000. Like, I don't have $100,000. Maybe you don't. Maybe you do. If you do, it's 100 and it's True North Church. Okay, no. And so we sold a house in Anchorage so we could give $100,000. It was a sacrifice for us. That was part of, in our mind, our retirement. Now, I'm convinced that God's retirement benefits are out of this world. But why do I share that? Because I want to ask some of you, maybe at that place where the Holy Spirit's going to speak to you, you've been an intentional giver, but God's saying, sacrifice. Or maybe number five, you're a legacy giver. That's someone whose life isn't defined by the company they built. It's defined by the giving they've had. And I want to encourage you. I don't know where you're at on this spectrum of generosity journey, but would you take the next step, church? And if we do, I'm convinced of this. I'm convinced that we're stepping into some shoes that someone else stepped into years ago, and our best days are ahead. I believe that. And I want to pray over you right now. We're also going to get ready to come, but I want to pray over you. I'm going to pray that God would speak to you. And if you're here and you say, Mark, I'm new to True North. I'd love to be a part of church pastoring. I'd love to be a part of the initiative of building a place with more space. There is a magazine that the Connect Desk, pick it up. If you already have one, but pick one up. And then there's a pledge card. If you want to be a part of it, just turn it into an offering plate sometime or drop it by the church office. If you want to meet with me, you have questions, I'd love to connect. I'm not going to twist your arm. I'm going to believe God's going to speak to people. I didn't come here to build a building. I came to build a church. God's gonna do the rest. But we have to lead it, right? I'm going to pray over in a moment. I'm going to pray over the offering too. But as you give today, I want to say thank you for your consistent generosity, church. We're in a great place as a church because of great people like you who said yes. The last 83 years, the last 9 years have been crazy incredible. Thanks for saying yes and being a part of what God's doing. Let's pray as we went into you for Lord's tithes and offerings. Lord, we thank you for this day. I pray that 100% of us would take the next step in our journey. God, help us to say yes to all you have. Yes to the future. Yes to the commands of Scripture. Today, as people give, God, whether it's a first time or it's an intentional tithe, bless the gift and giver in Jesus' name.
What a fantastic service. Be sure to stay in touch by following us on social media so you can stay up to date with all that is happening at True North Church.